This week's edition of the Detroit Bureau's Headlight News is brought to you by Toyota. Take your adventures further with the RAV4 Hybrid's advanced engine that produces an ample 219 combined net horsepower and has an EPA estimated 40 combined MPG. A hybrid exclusive XSE grade pushes it further with its sport-tuned suspension and styling. Visit toyota.com/RAV4Hybrid to find out more.
This is the DetroitBureau.com's Headlight News. I'm Paul Eisenstein. Welcome. It was a busy week in the automotive world, and here are some of the big stories we've been covering on thedetroitbureau.com. Gas prices continued falling to a U.S. average of barely $4.50 over the weekend. That's down more than a half dollar from the recent all-time record, according to AAA. Even so, a new study by the travel service shows a full 25% of Americans are now giving serious thought to buying an electric vehicle, with high fuel prices a major reason why. That's especially true for younger generations. Nearly a third of millennials want to go electric. The big problem, a lack of inventory. With over 200,000 advance orders, customers could be in for a year-long wait for a Ford F-150 Lightning, and the same is true for plenty of other new EVs. This week brought the debut of a number of all-new vehicles, starting with the next all-electric model from Hyundai. The sleek IONIQ 6 sedan will go on sale in 2023. Hyundai also showed off two sporty concept vehicles from its N brand and announced that the high-performance IONIQ 5N will be formally introduced later this year. And Mini showed off the new SE convertible. There are no plans to build the all-electric ragtop for now, a senior official told us, but it could come to production by mid-decade. And Cadillac offered a sneak peek at the ultra-exotic Celestiq model it'll officially reveal later this month. It's expected to cost more than $300,000 and is aimed at restoring Caddy's image as a standard that all other luxury brands need to live up to. Toyota, meanwhile, lifted the covers on the new Crown, a sporty SUV model set to replace the old Avalon sedan being dropped from production in 2023. The Crown line has long been available in Japan but was never brought here. Toyota could add other new versions of the Crown in the future. As for Ford, it's applied for trademarks on a variety of new names that suggest it could introduce new battery electric versions of its Ranger and Maverick pickups named both Thunder and Lightning. And struggling EV startup Canoe may have gotten a lifeline this past week when retail giant Walmart announced plans to buy 4,500 of its electric delivery vans. Walmart said it could up that order to 10,000 later. Only 2 months ago, Canoe warned investors it might not have enough cash to go into production. Finally, California regulators are taking a closer look at Cruise LLC, the autonomous subsidiary of General Motors. An anonymous whistleblower claims the company has had a number of safety-related problems. That was underscored earlier this month when a half dozen driverless Cruise robocabs stalled at a busy San Francisco intersection, tying up traffic for hours. The California Public Utilities Commission could revoke Cruise's operating permit if it finds the whistleblower's warnings are accurate. And those are the stories making headlines on thedetroitbureau.com. Now for the week's top story, here's Joe Cesney.
Thanks, Paul. Automakers believe consumers are willing to pay to have special services or features delivered to their vehicles. In fact, top executives from General Motors and Stellantis believe software-based service revenues could reach $20 billion annually by the end of the decade. BMW is testing the premise by offering subscriptions for heated seats and a heated steering wheel in Europe. While the automaker hasn't provided details, reports indicate an owner will pay around $18 a month to activate the front seat heaters. However, they can save a bit with an annual $180 subscription or $300 for 3 years. The alternative is to pay $415 for unlimited use. Automakers are eager to use subscriptions to recover the extra cost of developing what is known as a software-defined vehicle. The most expensive subscriptions involve self-driving features with sophisticated software and artificial intelligence capable of taking over from a human driver. The systems have not been perfected, but carmakers have devoted substantial resources to the effort, believing they will create a new and dependable source of revenue to go along with sales of new vehicles. Tesla, for example, charges $12,000 for its full self-driving technology, but it can also be added as a subscription for $199 a month. Ford Motor Company says subscription services are now a growing part of its fleet-oriented commercial business. That's the top story. Now let's go back to Paul for this week's review.
Thanks, Joe. Few brands carry the grandeur and gravitas of Rolls-Royce, but there were plenty of skeptics who wondered what the British automaker had in mind when it announced plans to add an SUV to its lineup nearly a decade ago. Today, few would debate that idea in a world dominated by utility vehicles. I recently had the chance to spend nearly a week behind the wheel of the Rolls-Royce Cullinan, and it is a truly unique experience. This behemoth turned heads wherever I went, and the familiar Spirit of Ecstasy hood ornament was only one reason why. Cullinan is absolutely massive, and it dominates the road. It's based off the same architecture of luxury as the current 8th generation Rolls-Royce Phantom, and it maintains the same magic carpet ride that makes you feel as if you're hovering slightly above the road, even on the worst of pavement. Like Phantom, the Cullinan draws power from a silky smooth 6.75-liter V12 that effortlessly delivers all the power you might want. It needs that muscle, considering the base version of the SUV weighs in at nearly 3 tons. But one of the biggest surprises is just how quick Cullinan is off the line. Better yet, its all-wheel drive system effortlessly takes on pretty much anything you can throw at it, from sand to snow to mud and ruts. The SUV is one of the most lavishly appointed vehicles on the road, with a cabin elegantly finished as one would expect in the finest leathers, wood trim, and lamb's wool carpeting, with aluminum accents giving the Cullinan a bit more modern feel. It doesn't come cheap. My test vehicle came in at $429,000, and the vast majority of buyers add custom touches that can double the final price tag. Luxury SUV buyers do have other options, from the rocket-fast Lamborghini Urus to the big Bentley Bentayga. But for those who want a dominating presence, power, and luxury to the extreme, the Rolls-Royce Cullinan is hard to top. And that's this week's review. Now, Mike Strong will look at what's coming up in the week ahead.
Thanks, Paul. This week we'll be getting updates about the industry from the executives making the decisions. On Monday, Jack Hollis, newly promoted Executive Vice President of Sales at Toyota Motor North America, joins the Automotive Press Association in Detroit for an online fireside chat. Hollis, who's taking over for longtime Toyota Sales Chief Bob Carter, will cover a variety of topics, including new product sales, electrification, and how various global factors are reshaping the auto industry. Stellantis steps up on Tuesday as Larry Dominique, the head of Alfa North America, and Vince Galante, the company's global head of user experience, will talk with the International Motor Press Association. Dominique, who was originally slated to help bring Peugeot back to the U.S. before moving into his current role, will offer insights on the new Alfa Romeo Tonale. Galante will share his thoughts on the latest enhancements to the company's Uconnect infotainment system. Then, second quarter earnings season kicks off Wednesday, with perhaps the most interesting of the earnings calls going first, Tesla. The EV maker and CEO Elon Musk report the company's Q2 results and will take questions from shareholders and analysts. With all that's going on, there's sure to be something newsworthy out of the call. Those are the big events we'll be covering in the days ahead. Now, let's go to Larry Prince for a look at this week in automotive history. Larry?
Thanks, Mike. Time to take a road trip back into the self-propelled past with This Week in Automotive History. If you're a member of Italy's Agnelli family, then you know that on this week in 1899, Fiat is founded in Turin, Italy by Giovanni Agnelli and a group of investors. The company's first factory opens 1 year later. By 1906, Fiat establishes a dealership in New York City, followed 3 years later by its first foreign factory in Poughkeepsie, New York. In 1933, Buckminster Fuller, the inventor of the geodesic dome, unveils his first automobile, the Dymaxion. Powered by a Ford V8, the tubular-shaped vehicle features an aluminum skin, topped with a painted canvas roof and a single rear wheel. Of the three Dymaxions built, one survives. In 1962, Neil Bolin, a safety engineer hired 4 years earlier by Volvo, receives a U.S. patent for the three-point safety belt. At the time, seat belts were rarely used, except by race car drivers. By the late 1970s, every car would come with three-point safety belts. In 1978, Ford Motor Company chairman Henry Ford II fires Lee Iacocca as Ford's president after 38 years with the company. When asked by Iacocca why he is being fired, Ford shrugs his shoulders and replies, "Well, sometimes you just don't like somebody." In 1982, the last Checker Marathon taxicab rolls off the assembly line in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The Marathon changed little from its first appearance in 1955. Powered by a 110-horsepower V6, 115-horsepower V8, or a 105-horsepower 5.7-liter diesel V8, you'll rarely see them in any color except yellow. And that's the road we've traveled this week in automotive history. For thedetroitbureau.com, I'm Larry Prince.
Thanks, Larry, and that's it for now. You've been listening to thedetroitbureau.com's Headlight News. I'm Paul Eisenstein.